Happy fucking happy hour. We encourage drinking and swearing. You're not drinking, Ron, so we encourage a lot of swearing.
All right, I can do that.
Ron Placone is here. First of all, friend of Rick Overton. So anyone that Rick Overton says is funny, you're on with us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Rick's been great to me. You know what? He was the first, my first, like, MC weekend, like, big one that really mattered was for Rick. And he wrote me his intro on a napkin. And I still have that napkin somewhere. I saved it.
Let's sell it on eBay.
I want to give it back to him.
Let's sell it on eBay right now.
Sell it on eBay.
Here, get right up on that mic. This is one. You know, you do a radio show.
Fair enough.
Let's pull it closer to you.
Pull it closer to me.
Yes, so you don't have to reach. Okay. Ron, I watched YouTube stuff. Funny, funny, funny. You have your own radio show. You're on Young Turks Network.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us everything about you.
Everything about me. Well, I guess I started out doing stand up a little while ago, and the way I got working with the Young Turks was kind of lucky, actually. I was doing just an audio segment, like just a news segment.
Right.
And one of their network partners was playing it on their radio show.
Right.
And then one of the people that worked for the Young Turks saw me live and said, "You do that segment on the David Pakman show." That and I was like, "Yeah, I do." And they were like,
You're a hippie freak like me.
Totally.
Okay, fantastic.
Totally.
Fantastic.
And they were like, "Why don't you do a video version of that?" And I was like, "I don't have a good answer for that."
They're like,
"That'd be
right.
Perfect for our network." And I was like, "Well, if you're offering me to join the network, I'll make videos."
Okay. All right.
And that's pretty much how that happened.
So have you always been a liberal hippie freak like me?
Pretty much. My political awakening was in college, and it was, you know, the 2004
college
election.
Where?
Indiana University.
Okay.
Go Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. But
I have no investment in that at all. I just said that because you did. I have no fucking idea and I don't care. But
you know,
yes.
I'm a Big Ten guy. I'm a Big Ten guy. And
I was
going
to say a Ball State thing because it sounds dirtier. But okay. But yes, Hoosiers. Yes.
Bloomington was good to me. You know, it's kind of like an artsy college town. So it was like very bohemian, pretty left-leaning, even though it was a blue dot in a big old red state.
Right.
But that was my awakening. 2004 was rough. I was really upset. My friends were going to Iraq, and I didn't know why.
Right.
And it didn't make sense to me.
Right.
So I started paying more attention, and I was like, why are people not paying attention to this? Why are all these brilliant academics like Juan Cole talking about what's really going on in the Middle East, and nobody cares? Then I learned about the media reform movement, because there was an activist group on campus talking about that, and I saw the Outfoxed movie, and that sort
of amazing movie.
Very brilliant movie, and that kind of catapulted me into... Right. Whatever this is, but it's been a fun ride.
So you are a stem cell. How old are you exactly?
I am 31.
Oh, all right. See, Sean, almost as stem cell-y as you are. I don't know. My other stem cell's sick today, so Sean's running that. You still speak on colleges.
Right? I do. Yeah. I put together a program about media reform because nobody was talking about it, and I think it's a very pressing issue.
Right.
So I put together a program about it, and it's evolved over the past few years, and now it's more having to do with just political apathy. So I go to colleges, and it's a satirical lecture. It's not necessarily a comedy show per se, but I talk about what it means to vote, what it means to be civically engaged, how to be strategic, why we shouldn't be apathetic, why this generation
doesn't...
It's
hard for me
to
get excited about your political apathy tour. I kid. This is... You're in my au revoir now when you talk about... Because we are taping this on the day after, Donald Trump essentially called for the assassination of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And the networks kind of have to treat it like, oh, here's some Trump spokespeople to explain why that wasn't really what he said. And both sides are really kind of the same. I mean, it is fucking infuriating.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that they cover up for this guy.
Right.
In fairness to Donald Trump, he is creating jobs for PR people. So
he spoke
about jobs.
His spokespeople are really among the dumbest shits I've ever encountered in my life. Did you see the one today said, he was just saying that, she wouldn't get shot till after she's president, and he doesn't want that to happen. So the point is you should vote for him. I was like, are you thinking you're making this better?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the explanations were so, like, really? I mean, it's an indefensible thing. Like, why don't you just come out and say it was a very, very, very ill-informed and ignorant thing to say, and he's sorry. He wasn't thinking or whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is hilarious.
Trying to make a dumb joke.
Oh, a very funny joke. You know, it's hilarious. Just ask Gabby Giffords how funny that is.
Yeah, I just said that today.
Joking about stuff like that.
I said that today on the show. Gabby Giffords thought it was just unbelievably hilarious, the joke. Yeah. I mean, as a comedian, as a political guy, did you ever fucking think we would be here? Like, Donald Trump, Orange Hitler is running for president.
And yeah.
I mean, it is terrifying, isn't it?
I guess I never really saw this. I never thought I would yearn for the days where, Bush was just... Oh, he's kind of...
He's like an elder statesman now?
Right. I mean,
you're like,
well,
Sarah
yeah.
Palin, please, a lonely nation turns its eyes to you.
Yeah.
Give us some wisdom.
They were civility in comparison, especially since, when you saw him at that funeral recently, it's like, oh, okay, he just does not have any concept of time and place anymore.
Right.
He had a slight concept.
Oh, he was dancing.
When he was dancing. Right, yeah, because why not?
He's mostly naked, drawing pictures of Scotties. He doesn't know.
He has his paint-by-numbers career now, yes. And he's kind of like, he probably shouldn't have sharp objects. At this point. And he was on the verge of that when he was in office, but this guy is just cognizant of what he's doing. He grew up with such privilege that he never had to be held accountable for the ridiculous bullshit that he said.
Right.
And now he's winning over some people with that insane, hateful bullshit.
Did you see the New York Times video audio of Trump rallies? And
I've seen some. I mean, I listened to that clip over again.
Fuck that N-word when he talked about Obama. Mm-hmm. Hang that bitch when he talks about Hillary. I mean, just like the hatred and you have to go like, oh my God, this is not the fucking America we live in, is it?
Yeah.
This can't be. I mean, of course, as we're taping this, the numbers all look great. It looks really landslidey for Hillary. But I mean, it is terrifying that it's even close in some places. Right?
Yeah. Well, it's weird that people have taken this guy seriously up until this point. And I think the Republican establishment is realizing the Frankenstein that they let happen. And
they built this.
I don't understand what they were... Speaking strictly from a strategy standpoint, I don't understand what they were thinking by not getting behind John Kasich.
Right.
There's a guy, he would beat Hillary in a general. I really do feel that way. Because he would get a couple crucial swing states.
Right.
The guy the guy's just an old timey, like, I want to drink domestic beer. I don't agree with anything he says.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
but he's diplomatic about it. And he's, for all intents and purposes, likable. I could have a beer with that guy. And if we kept the conversation about football, we'd get along.
Right. Exactly. But Ron, he's just as awful. This is the thing.
Somebody
wrote a great
strategy.
Thing about, like, rest in peace, GOP. Like, they fucking built this. His policies are horrible. All of their policies are horrible. Sarah Palin was out there saying, you know, he pals around with terrorists and people would yell kill him at the rallies. Like, they fucking built this with all the candidates they've had, right-wing media. Like, this is not some anomaly.
This is,
as people say, Donald Trump is shouting what they've been whispering for years.
Oh, like, totally.
You know, so they own this. This is not like, oh, he's some... this is exactly the outgrowth of what they've been doing for years, starting with the Southern strategy, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's gotten to the point where we're just like idiocracy in real life. I mean, I saw Sarah Palin speak a little while back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I tapped out after 12 minutes. I put in 12, which I was shooting for 10. I was like, let's see if I can do 15.
Right. My listeners tell me, they're like, please, can you warn us when you're going to play a Sarah Palin soundbite? Because my... balls just like went up into my throat.
Oh yeah, that happened to me, and I was standing, so it was really awkward.
Right.
I was a lot of coughing on my part, but what happened?
Did your balls come back down?
Oh yeah, they dropped again.
They dropped again,
and I was like, I feel like this happened one time in my life before, but I don't remember it.
Don't remember.
The first time was a long time ago.
It's something about the pitch of her voice and the stupidity at the same time.
Well, you know what? There was a solid 30 seconds before it became word salad. Like, I think she said hello. She made a comment about salmon in Alaska. And I was like, well, that's something we have in common.
Okay.
I used to live in Seattle. I love my Alaskan salmon. Right on. I'm on board. I probably don't take pleasure in stabbing it to death like she might do.
Right.
But, you know.
She'd rather see it suffer.
Yeah. I like eating it, though. I'm on board
with
that.
She's sad now because they've outlawed shooting wolves out of helicopters
right.
in Alaska. Did you see that?
I haven't seen
that's
that.
That's a sad day for Sarah Palin.
Yeah. I don't know. How is she going to spend
that's
the weekends
a fair fight.
Now? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, eventually I stood near the back. This was at Politicon a few weeks. Well, I guess.
I remember. I was supposed to be there. I was on vacation. Yeah.
I did it last year. It's a fun event.
Oh, it's fun. I got to hang out with Ann Coulter. It was fantastic.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, great.
You know, I accidentally cursed out Newt Gingrich.
Oh, did you? I got a picture with him, too.
I didn't mean to. I felt a little bad, but really? Here's what happened.
I don't feel like that should be an accident.
Well, he's never done anything to me. You know, I don't know the guy. I mean, yeah, I try
yeah,
to
but
be.
He's a craven ass fuck.
I'll take your word for it. You've met him. I haven't met him.
He changed his mind on every, like, whatever. He was like, frankly, I don't, yeah, sure, I'm for that. He's
that,
right?
That was him on Crossfire.
He doesn't have any core beliefs of any kind. He's just like a right-wing media whore. He's
oh,
like,
yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, Donald Trump is, yeah, qualified, sure.
Well, I was at the Cenk, Uyghur, and Coulter debate last year, and
okay.
I was periscoping it. Coulter's lackeys asked us not to do that, but some of my followers on Twitter requested it. And
right.
You know what? That's who I answered
right.
to. All right? I'm
right.
for the people.
Right.
So I periscoped it.
I
and
can
I was
tell that about you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was pretending I was texting and I was periscoping the debate. But so anyway, I had to stay until the end. Dennis Kucinich was doing a book signing. I
right.
like Dennis Kucinich.
Right.
So I wanted my book signed that I had just purchased for that purpose. So I run to the book signing. I don't see Dennis Kucinich because it had just ended, and I see Newt Gingrich,
right.
and there's a guy there, and he's like, do you want to get your book signed by Newt Gingrich? And I was like, absolutely not. I'm a tasteful human being, but where is Dennis Kucinich? And they're like, Dennis Kucinich just ended, and I pointed at Newt Gingrich. There was no one in his line, by the way. I pointed at Newt Gingrich, and I was like, this is fucking bullshit. And then I was like, oh, that was a little out of line, but I was really upset.
Right.
Newt Gingrich kind of looked over with like his big old pumpkin head, like,
right.
wow, what's that guy's
right.
issue? And then the guy was like, well, are you sure you don't want to get your book signed? And I was like, look, man, I came here for filet mignon, and you just offered me a pile of Monsanto shit. I want Dennis Kucinich now. So then he actually whispered what room Dennis Kucinich was in to me,
really?
just to get me to go away. And I was like, thanks, man. We're on the same team, maybe. I'm not sure. But either way,
right.
I'm leaving.
That's a fucking spectacular line. I came here from filet mignon. I got a pile of Monsanto bullshit. So wait, tell us about your you have the show. What's Indie Bohemians?
Yeah, that's my radio show / podcast. I started out on a Pacifica network in
okay.
Nashville, Tennessee, where I used to live.
Why did you live in Nashville?
I was on the road full time, and my girlfriend at the time really wanted to live there. And it's such a great hub as far
as... You're so ruled by your dick, you man. Really? Nashville sounds great. Tennessee sounds fantastic for a liberal hippie.
You know what? Nashville is a blue dot these days, though.
That's true.
It really is. Yeah, I gotta give love to Nashville.
Yeah.
I love Nashville. Nashville, I defend Nashville a lot. The other place I defend a lot is Detroit.
Right.
Love both those places.
Right.
Got a place in my heart for them. Is it a blue dot in a sea of red? Absolutely. Am I thrilled that when I go vote now, I actually
right.
vote on real issues and not vote against setting women's rights back 30 years? Yes, I'm thrilled about that. Because even though Nashville's a blue dot, the state is not. So I had to vote on all kinds of crazy shit when I lived in Tennessee.
Right.
But I was happy in my blue dot. You know, our Pacifica affiliate was really cool. It was me and about 10 other people.
Right.
And, but yeah, the show started
there. Because
we're
a collective. We're a commune.
Yeah, right.
We're fucking hippies.
We all live together.
That's how we do.
Ed, we... We have a garden commune because we don't know how the rest of the state feels
about
us.
So wait, you were born where?
I was born in Pittsburgh.
Grew up there?
I grew up there, yeah.
Siblings, parents, what they do? Tell me everything.
My dad is a
professor.
The
FBI background check was late. I don't know anything about you. Tell me everything.
Yeah, well, my dad is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University.
Oh.
My mom is a research assistant at Carnegie Mellon. Not to my dad, but she's
in
a different
department.
Oh, my
God. So nerds. You come from a long line of nerds.
I come from, academics.
Yeah.
And so holidays would often look like just a world peace meeting,
right.
because
right.
any of my dad's students, that didn't have a place to go, they would usually come to our house.
Right.
So we had everything from just our normal Italian American Pennsylvania family. Then we would have people from Russia, people from Nigeria, people from Hong Kong, people from China. I'm just trying to go.
Wow.
People from Dominican.
So
you were
steeped in communism, basically.
Yeah, we were pretty progressive, like live and let live. Like our best friends growing up are this gay couple.
Oh my God.
Our closest. We helped them adopt a kid. That kid slept in my crib. So
wait,
yeah.
A gaby slept in your crib.
Yep.
What you know era was this?
This was I guess it was about 10 years ago that they adopted.
Not, I'm really
But I mean, my whole life. I mean, my whole life. Like we were friends with them as long as I can remember. So, you know, I mean, I was a little kid, and I would say that's gay because I didn't know what that meant. You know, you just hear that and you repeat it.
Right.
And my mom took me aside and she said, "Do you know what that means?" And I said, "Well, I don't. It means something's dumb or something's bad." And they're like, "No, do you know what being gay is?" And I was like, "No." And she explained it to me, and then she said, "You know that Mike and Ray are gay." And I said, "Oh, well, they're awesome people." And I stopped saying that. I learned something new. And actually, the way that I learned about it at first was Mike was a very loving guy, still is, like one of my favorite people on the planet. And when I was a little kid, I thought he was hitting on my mom. Because that was just sort of his.
Because you were dumb.
Because I was dumb and I didn't know any better. And that
I
was like
I was
just
marry
sort of.
Paul Lynde. Yeah.
That's just like
I know. I'm like, oh my god, he's so funny.
Yeah. So I told my dad, I was like, "Dad, I think that Mike guy is hitting on mom." And my dad laughed, and I didn't know why. And then they explained everything to me. And then they're saying, "By the way, when you say that's gay, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong."
Right.
And you know, it was. I mean, I was a little kid. I didn't know any better. But
right.
I learned something.
No, I maybe because I'm like a little older than you are,
a little bit.
In our era, it was like, "Oh my god, you're such a femme." And like who used that word, and no one really knew what it meant. Like, they just were like, "Oh, is that a bad thing, like you're a..."
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So, wait a minute. Siblings, yes?
Yeah, I have a sister. She is a little bit younger than me. She lives in San Francisco.
Oh. Can you open this for me?
Sure.
It's very exciting.
Is it? It's just a twist?
Yeah, it's a twist top.
All right.
Thank
you.
Oh,
big strong man. Oh. I just did that. I just did that, folks.
Oh, my God. That is really hot. Thank you. Wow. That was fantastic. Thank you.
It would have been bad if I didn't pull it off. If I was
This is something.
Do you want the lid?
No.
No, we're just going to let it chill. Let it breathe.
Fine. We have people coming for the after party to worship you.
Nice.
Right?
All right, good.
Okay, so sister and you still close and...
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah.
She's really cool. She works in the clothing industry.
All
she's
right.
she's like a planner for like the floors of stores. She works for I think it's Gap.
Oh.
But I know very little about clothes.
I just had a fantastic experience at the Gap. I got some very soft t-shirts for a very low price, and I'm very excited about it.
That's
please
the
tell
best.
Her thank you. Mm-hmm.
I will. Well, she dresses me pretty much, not in the literal
it's
sense.
Fantastic
she,
Gap
yeah,
t-shirt
she,
you're
she
wearing.
She buys all my clothes because I'm so ignorant to that stuff. I wish I wasn't, but I'm so clueless. And like before I moved here, she was like, "Okay, if you're going to live in L.A., you got to kind of take your appearance a little bit more seriously."
Gotta take
and I was
it
like,
notch,
agreed. Yeah. So
let's
she took, me, she took
yeah.
me shopping.
So no, wait. So what? The girlfriend now or no? Married? Yes.
Single guy.
Oh,
yeah. I'm a
well,
single guy.
Hello.
I was, yeah.
Hey, gals. Look at him. Check it out.
Yeah. I was with a girl for a while. We were actually engaged and it didn't work out.
Oh, I just went through that. With the same girl, actually. I'm sorry. This is awkward now.
Really?
No, different girl. Anyway, do you want to have kids?
Do I want to have kids? Maybe. I don't know. I'm a big animal lover, so
me
I feel
too.
Like that's enough for me. I have a cat, Lucy, that I spoil ridiculously. So
yeah.
I'm worried if I ever had a kid that they would just be an awful...
Lucy will kill the kid.
Lucy would
I
kill
think
the
you
kid,
know
or
that.
The kid
I mean,
would be
I'm a dog person. I'm a little
spoiled.
Biased, but I'm just telling you that the cat will kill the child.
Oh, yeah. You think she would just eat the kid, like, when I'm not around?
Oh, God,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, so I can't do that. I wouldn't want to do that to a person.
No.
So,
I'm just trying to warn you off.
Cats it is. They're way cheaper, too. I mean, those vet bills add up, and I'm so gullible. I'll believe anything. They could be like, "Your cat needs breast implants." I'd be like, "All right, if it's going to help her self-esteem,
okay,
let's do this." I'm one of those pet owners, but still, cheaper than a kid. From what I've been told from my friends that are breeding.
Right.
I have friends that make people.
All of my
they
friends
that
are bred, it just looks awful to me. It has reaffirmed my choice of not having children. I'm like, that just sounds awful.
Is that what you do when you walk in and meet them all? You're just like, well, this looks awful,
this
but if you're
just
happy.
This looks awful. Okay, well.
This is, you did this on purpose,
right.
Huh? This is a thing. I guess, good for you. Good for you.
Good job. How long have you been here? How long have you lived in LA?
A couple months.
That's it? Where'd you come from? From Nashville?
Nashville, yeah.
Oh, you're kidding. Wait, so because of the last girl.
Yeah, I left Nashville and I went on the road. I mean, I've been on the road full time for about 4 or 5 years. But I went on the road full time in the sense of there is no actual home. So I started in Florida.
Out of necessity, you just floated about the country.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the only reason I had a permanent place was because I had a lady. And once I didn't have that, I was like, well, why should I pay rent somewhere when I'm traveling 40 plus weeks a year? So right. I started in Florida because I wanted to dip my toe in one ocean and then dip my toe in another ocean. So I started in Florida. And that's a good time to be touring down in Florida in January. So I did that. And then I went all the way out to LA over the course of like 4 months, saved up my road pennies and moved here.
So, you are the, Rick Overton, you were one of the young millennial, Bernie people. I'm guessing that,
yeah.
that Rick Overton met in his travels.
Yeah. I was a big Bernie supporter.
Well, yeah, Rick and I love each other with the heat of a thousand white hot suns, but I've always been Hillary. It's been pretty. So we've had a lot of makeup sex, is my point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I've known Rick like longer than that. I mean, I met Rick when I first started because I actually started. I'm a bit nomadic. I started comedy in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And I met him there. And one of the first times I ever got to MC was he was the headliner. And I mean, he taught me so much. Like when I think about,
he's brilliant.
He told me what it meant to do political comedy. Like I really didn't know. Like especially at the time, I thought like, "Hey, George Bush is stupid. That's a political joke, right?" No, it's not. He taught me what that really meant. Him,
right.
him, and I mean, I was incredibly lucky. I had a workshop with him in Fugelsang, and they broke it down. And this was when I had been
my
doing
sexy
comedy.
Liberal brethren.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had been doing comedy less than a year, and I. Those two basically like shepherded me through the process and have been mentors to me to this day.
Well, you know, there's, it's so funny. There's like all these like there's a million fucking stories, as you know, about the millennials, this, the millennials, that.
Yeah,
what are
we
they
get a
do?
Lot of shit, don't
like,
we?
Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, of course they hate Donald Trump, but every headline is Hillary has a millennial problem, you know. And right now the polls look, you know, like she's going to, excuse me, crush him. But I mean, this must be the stupid thing that you hear all the time. Like, what do millennials think? Like, and you, like, you're one person.
I know. Like we're just one person. We have our meetings, and we're like, oh man, this really sucks. We better make some more phone apps so we can survive. Meeting adjourned. That's all we do.
But the other thing is that you don't vote.
Yeah, you know,
and that must be hard for you because you're an activist, pretty much, right?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, I don't know if I'm totally on board with the whole, like, millennials are apathetic thing. Because I'll tell you what, when I was in college, we were super political. Like, we were super political. We were super, and you know, I mean, of course, I'm generalizing a little bit here because I have to. But, I mean, we were really, like, in tune culturally. Like, and even, like, professors would say that about us, that we're so in tune politically.
What year did you graduate?
I graduated college in 2007.
I'm sorry. Oh, I just got a... No, I had a peanut caught in my...
Is there a bit of wasabi there?
Right. No, me too. Very close to that. Uh-huh. Shut up, Sean. yeah, but I mean, what do you think is going to happen with millennials as a group in this election? I mean, I'm going, is it an age thing that Donald Trump is terrifying?
I think that...
Isn't he terrifying to, like, everybody? I mean, I just, like... On every issue that millennials or anyone else cares about.
Well, I think a lot of millennials do care about Bernie and do care about the movement that Bernie put lighter fluid on. See, when people say Bernie started this progressive movement, I have a little bit of like, well, he didn't start it, but he threw some gasoline on the fire that may have been burning out. I mean, you know, because I remember I supported Kucinich in 2008. You know, like I remember that there was a big progressive underbelly going on before Bernie did what he did. Bernie was part of it from day one, sure.
Right.
But, you know, he didn't necessarily start it with this election. I think a lot of
millennials...
He didn't
start the fire is what you're saying.
Yeah, but he
but it's, okay.
It's been burning since the world was turning.
Oh,
since
my God, he knows
deal.
That I was going to do
of
an old lady song.
That.
Okay,
come
all right.
On,
okay,
come on. Come on. We can still do it.
I'm
we can still
Billy
do the
Joel.
Clip.
Okay. Fine. Okay.
But... You know, I think a lot of millennials care about that, and I think a lot of us are kind of in tune with it, And I think a lot of us have seen through the fluff. Like, I never understood the Bernie bro thing. I really didn't. I thought it was
him neither. He was a Bernie bro, and then he has a roommate that's a Bernie bro that's Hillary now. I mean, I get
it. Yeah, like
I love Bernie. I've had him on the show a bunch of times.
Yeah, and he's a super... And you know what's so funny? Like, the people that they call, quote, Bernie bros, a lot of times you would never use that term bro for them in any other
context. Oh, I never did, because I thought it was pejorative.
Yeah. Like, look at that bro with the ponytail and the NPR tote bag going to Whole Foods. Man, he's just lost on his way to the sports bar. Like, come on, really? Like it's I never got it. But I think a lot of people in that movement are now saying, okay, well, how do we get further? This is what happened now. How do we get further? Does it mean we use our vote to make a statement? Does it mean we get behind Hillary?
How did you feel about that? A lot of people thought was that seminal moment at the DNC when Sarah Silverman, who's was a big Bernie person, said to the Bernie people, disrupting, she said, "You are being ridiculous."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did you react to that?
In some ways, I saw her points, and in some ways, I didn't. I mean, I think at that moment, that was justified frustration. But as far as like the way they were trying to dismiss all the Bernie people at the convention, you know, I didn't fully agree with that. I was like, well, this movement's important, and Hillary needs to know that she needs this movement to win, that it's important.
Don't you also think she's done a lot of outreach in that regard? Not just on the platform and with Bernie, but like I just feel like she has. And she, even in her speech, she made a big point of that.
I think to some degree she has, but I think she's kind of disappointed us in other ways, too. I mean, I wasn't thrilled about her VP pick at all, and I kind of... There's certain things about her I still have some very big issues with. Now, do I think that we'd be better off with Donald Trump in the White House? Absolutely not. I don't think that. I mean, that guy having – I mean, we do not need somebody with their hand on the nuclear button that if you insult the size of those hands, he'll push the button. We don't need that. And I think that deep down, you know, my thing with Obama, there's some stuff he did that I love. There's some stuff he did that I really didn't like. But I always wonder deep down, is that activist from Chicago still in there? And my answer is yes, I really do. And there's been a couple pivotal moments when he appeared on Mark Maron's podcast and he talked about what the ACA really was to him.
Mark was my guest on this podcast.
Oh,
yeah? He talked about that.
Well, and that was when he talked about the ACA. And I was in many ways disappointed with the ACA, like many people were.
Right.
But I saw it as a
public option. Right, yeah.
Right. But I saw it as a catalyst to reach a nonprofit single-payer system. And he did, too. And the fact that he did, too, was awesome to me. I was like,
and
okay,
he said in a perfect
world,
we would start with private... Right.
With he's like, payer. If we were starting from scratch, of course that's what we would do. But we're not starting from scratch. A sixth of our economy revolves around this fucked up, completely unethical system. And that sucks. But, you know, we don't want to be laying off the person that works at the call center that, you know, needs to pay their bills. And I totally get that. That's not how change works. It's a slow process. So, you know, that activist in Chicago was still in there. And my question with Hillary is that activist from the early 90s that took on universal health care as a first lady still in there?
I think she is.
I want to think she is, too.
I really do. I have to say, I was a big Obama person last time. I took all the shit from the Hillary people. Mm-hmm. So I have some credibility because I was totally Obama and got accused of being a, you know, I've betrayed my vagina before, Robert. I apparently betrayed my vagina. But I really do feel like she has... she's a much better candidate. I think she has come to the left, like the rest of the country. And I just, I think, honestly, we always say this is the most important election in my life. This is the most fucking important election in our lifetime. We are actually choosing between a fascist and someone who has really actually been a progressive her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hillary Care was more liberal than Obamacare. Like, you're right. She's in there.
But then she switched on that, which bothers me. When she said universal health care is impossible, I thought
Obama
that's not okay.
Obama said that, too. I mean, that's the problem. Is like, here's the thing that fucking titillated me today, is that that Paul Ryan and others are worried that they will lose the House and the Senate, to which I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
that's what we need. If we had a wave election, we could get all the shit done that we need.
No kidding. Well, and that's the thing. I hope that this momentum that Bernie inspired not only carries on through November, but carries on to the midterms.
Right.
It's so
that's
important.
That's the thing. We need to fucking turn up at the midterms.
Big time. I mean, that's why people don't realize that voting is strategic. And this is some of the stuff that I try to tell college kids. I'm like, look, the most important, and I'm not saying don't vote for president. Of course, go out and vote for president. But it's easy to get discouraged by elections like that and then just kind of get apathetic. But it's so important to show up to local things, to midterms. Look, voting locally is incredibly important. You know why? A, because it affects your day-to-day. B, because you know who turns up the most to vote for that stuff? Old people. If it didn't matter, the old people would have stopped showing up years ago because they would have known, oh, this doesn't matter. We're just going to sleep in. But they do show up.
Right,
so it's,
do you think it'll change this year, millennials showing up at the polls?
Oh, I think millennials are going to show up. Yeah. I think they're going to show up in the general. I think that they realize what Trump is. I think a lot of us are discouraged, but I think we're finally starting to realize with comments like the Second Amendment comment that, okay, let's hold up. Hillary did some bullshit. The DNC did some bullshit. We have a reason to be angry, yeah. But do we need this fascist, sociopath, plutocrat, lunatic in office? Right. No. That's not the solution here.
Right. You had a lot of tweets this week. You said, I'm in Utah. There's a ton of gun stores here, probably because everyone's so pro-life.
Yeah, right. And, you know, for a place that's so uptight about nudity, I saw a ton of truck nuts.
Yes. And
so
they are the
nuts.
Number one porn consumer in the country, Utah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Trump-Pence logo looks like a clothing brand from the mid-90s and only douchebags wore. That is
doesn't
true.
It?
Yeah, it's very douchebaggy.
It so does.
So something that you got to champion in the...
They ditched that, right? They're not doing that anymore? Or are they still doing it?
No, they changed it.
Okay.
Because it looked a lot.
Oh, yeah. It totally looked like a dick going into a vagina.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They totally. Trump was thinking about his daughter when he came up with it. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. Sorry.
Like, we're the only ones that were like, he felt up his daughter at the Republican convention. She's like, oh, my God, Dad. Stop filling me up on national television.
Yeah, that was.
He totally did the, like, right?
That was beyond creepy.
That was weird.
Well, you know what? I really do think when you come from that amount of privilege, there's a little bit inside of you that has that, like, royal family mentality.
Right.
That, like, we keep it. And it's really gross and disgusting.
His son, Baron, it was reported, we mentioned today, he uses a caviar-infused moisturizer.
Ew.
A 7-year-old.
Why?
Because it's Melania's line. She slathers it on him head to toe, which is also weird.
Yeah. There's a lot of really creepy innuendo going on. I don't know. You know, I always said that my penis is a lot like Donald Trump. It's pale, false to the right, and unqualified to be president. But would sleep with his daughter.
Yeah, well, and why not? She's hot.
She is.
Right? It's like when he comes out, it's always like a Robert Palmer video, right? A lot of very skinny, pissy models. Just... Yeah, I am a little terrified, though, I have to say. One of my friends just
terrified.
Keeps saying, no, but he keeps saying, don't get happy, because, like, it's too fucking close in some places. Like, yes, it feels like it could be a landslide, but you're like, I don't... We always do a story, one story a day, Ron, that's like, are we this dumb and mean enough a country to elect Donald Trump? There's always at least one story a day that will tell you, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are that dumb and that mean. Yes, we are.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have yet to meet a Trump supporter that has sound reasons for supporting him other than, like, thinly veiled racist reasons.
Right.
It's like, well, I think we need to, like someone said to me, I think it's just time we look out for our own right now. And I'm like, well, I feel that way too. But when I say that, I mean, looking out for our own means that you don't go into debt because you break your leg. It means that you get to go see a doctor whether you can pay or not. It means that education is affordable and not just something for the privileged. Your definition of looking out for our own is kicking out brown people.
Right.
That doesn't add up to me.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. Right. But that is exactly it. You go, like, it is sort of veiled. But if you watch the video of these rallies, you go, oh, no, it's because they're fucking racist assholes. Really, there's a lot of anger in this country. And in some ways, the Republican Party's always done that. They've always been like, if you don't have a job, it's the brown person. If there's something wrong with your marriage, it's the gay person. But this is just that on steroids, right?
Yeah. Well, they've always thrived off of polarization. I mean, that's something that the right has always just thrived off of because they rely on people going against their own self-interests. You know, I mean, unless, of course, you're part of the very, very corporate elite, which, you know, about 1% of us are. I'm not in that club.
Right.
So you need people to go against their own interests. So you need to give them something to be afraid of, something to demonize or blame for whatever situation they're in. So,
right.
you know, that,
right.
that comes in many forms, be it PC culture or women or brown people. And,
right.
And brown people is always an easy one for them. So they're really going after that.
Yeah. It's just this on steroids. So Ron Placone, let's talk a little more for a minute. So your whole upbringing, like you were saying, hippie professor parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you just had the girlfriend that didn't work out, but
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. Let me just get this.
Thanks.
Me too. Okay.
You're coming out of something too?
What's that?
You're coming out of something too?
Yes. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Same. I didn't know we're going to get married, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Not important now.
Well, let's dive into that wine later, and then we'll really slug it out.
Yes,
slug it out. Yeah.
What are your hopes, your dreams, your whatever?
My hopes and my dreams.
Yeah.
I just want to keep being creative and somehow pay the bills doing it. That's really all I care about. I mean, I came here because I was tired of traveling 40 plus weeks a year.
Yeah,
I still travel a lot. I mean, I still go on the road a lot. I mean, I would, like you said, I was just in Utah, did a show for a handful of Mormons, and You know what? They were very cordial, very kind. The jokes about being atheist/agnostic. I always say I'm either atheist or agnostic, depending on how you arrange your terms and what part of the country I'm in and how often people are armed. But those jokes actually went over very well. They were totally on board with them. I backed off on a few things because I did want to ask. If there weren't a lot of Mormons in the audience, I was going to ask. I was like, do the Mormons really love the Scientologists? Because they just wake up every day and they're like, oh, we're not the worst anymore. You know, but I backed off on asking that question. Because everybody said yes when I asked if they were Mormons.
I saw that you also, wait a minute, you were a ghost something, because Ghostbusters, I just saw Ghostbusters, which I love, but you were a ghost mansion?
Oh, yeah.
I have a stand-up chunk
about that. I was a ghost tour guide in downtown Nashville, sometimes on the side, because typically stand-up dates are slow during the summer.
Right.
And I make a lot of my living doing colleges as well, both as a speaker and as a stand-up, and those dates are non-existent in the summer. So sometimes in the summer, I would do things to stay closer to home, and I was a ghost tour guide every now and again. And the company was run by a former comic, so he totally was understanding of the life or whatever. But I told these stories. It was mostly like history-based.
So you're like that guy in the Ghostbusters movie that does the tours of the haunted mansion.
Yeah. Except I've never seen anything really cool.
Right.
People would ask you,
have you seen a ghost?
Oh, yeah. They would ask me if I'd seen a ghost, and I'd be like, no. I wouldn't say no, because I didn't want to, like...
you can't say no. It blows the whole business model.
These were people on their vacation, right? So I would answer that question, and I felt like a politician. They'd be like, have you ever seen a ghost? And my response would always be, I've seen a lot of things I can't explain. And just leave it there. It was just vague. There was no real
information.
But you
just meant people like you that vote against your self-interest. That's what you
meant.
Right.
That's what I really meant.
You didn't mean apparition. You just
meant
like people like you, fucking idiots.
Well, and then like a lot of times people would pry more. They'd be like, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen? What's the weirdest thing on a tour that you've ever seen? And I was like, probably adults that have the naivety of a five-year-old. That's probably the weirdest thing I've ever seen. This stuff's probably not real. Just have fun. Just enjoy this. Learn a little bit about Tennessee. Because my tours were very informative. Like, it was actually history-based.
Right.
We just had a little twist that
maybe
there's something weird going on. Right.
So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You know, it was fun.
I saw you also did – I saw a clip because obviously Summer Olympics are going on. But you did a thing about how you loved swimming pools.
I do.
When you were swimming when you were a kid.
Yeah, I love swimming.
What's that about?
Loving swimming?
I always hated it.
I just love it. Why? You hate swimming?
I don't know. You know, girls' body image.
Do you like the
bathing
beach?
Suits? No. I mean,
really?
I like being at the beach. I like being in the water because that's the shark's house. But I like being on the beach.
Oh, come on. They're not. It is their house, yes.
Yes.
But their house is pretty deep for the most part. They're not going to, you know. I mean, don't go in like if your leg's bleeding profusely. Don't be swimming in the ocean. They kind of like that. They might come up. But Otherwise, you know,
I understand.
You know, becoming all right. one with nature.
I understand.
Swimming in the ocean is very.
But what you always loved swimming? What, in a pool or in a
everywhere? I love really? Lakes. I love oceans. I love. Wow. You know, I'm a freshwater guy by birth, right? I mean, I was right. born in Pennsylvania,
right?
So a lot of lakes there. But yeah, no, I love swimming pools, and every now and again, like, you see something very inspirational, you know? Like I saw this. I saw the chubby 14-year-old kid that wears his T-shirt in the pool. I saw that
Gotta wear the T-shirt.
Right? Oh, yeah. It was some black T-shirt of some band that I hadn't heard of. But if I was 14, I would have known that band, right?
Sure, like,
he was, and I'm not making fun of that kid because that was me when I was 14.
Really?
I used to be the chubby kid. Yeah. I had acne everywhere. I wore my T-shirt in the pool. But I saw that kid, and I saw a nice-looking young lady with him. And they were a couple. And that was inspiring to me. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. Yeah. Looks aren't as important. This next generation is going to take us back to outer space.
Sure.
They're going to take us to a new intellectual height. But then I was brought back down really quickly. Because I realized that anybody just walking by, seeing the situation, they wouldn't hear the nice thoughts in my head. They would just see two teenagers making out in a swimming pool and me sitting by myself with a smile on my face.
Yeah, just a perv.
It was very misleading. Right. A very misleading situation.
Sure.
So, you know, you just get brought back down, you know. But I'm trying to be less cynical, so I work on stuff like that.
You were
She's laughing, folks.
You were trying to be supportive in your thought
it's
bubble
a quiet laugh.
Of the couple in the pool.
I was like, good for them. And I was like, oh, this probably looks wrong.
This looks weird. Like, I'm enjoying this.
They don't understand what's actually going on in my head. Because, you know, I think about a lot of stuff, right? I'm going a mile a minute.
Right.
We all are. You are, too. You are, too. We're mile a minute, folks. We just are.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, are you? How are you going to be with a? It looks like a Hillary Clinton presidency.
I'm okay with it. I'd be curious to see what she does. Am I a little discouraged through the process? Yeah, I'm a little bit upset about the way things were handled. I feel like the media shit the bed royally to the point where Harvard was doing reports on it. But they usually shit the bed on elections just because they cover it wrong every time.
And
but,
they gave Donald Trump $2 billion of free media.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, that guy, I mean, he has like the phone lines in his back pocket. But I was disappointed the way they misled the American people. I didn't think it was fair or done justly. I was disappointed in the DNC. I was very happy with the way Bernie handled everything.
Yeah.
And the, I mean,
I gave him total props.
The
his
Bernie
speech at the convention,
yeah.
his what they did on the platform, I thought all of it was his first appearance with Hillary. I just thought he just wrote a piece for the LA Times, an endorsement of Hillary, that I thought was fantastic.
I think everything he did was right on. And you should see him walk on water. No, I'm just kidding.
I just
know some
that.
Of the Bernie's
Well,
words.
I actually prefer when he makes loaves and fishes for the Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that believe a socialist Jew did that a couple thousand years ago.
I understand.
So, you know, who knows?
I understand.
But I think everything he did was very strategic. I think it was right on. The supporters that criticize him, I'm like, what would you have done differently? And if the answer is anything, you don't understand
Bernie,
the political process.
Right, exactly. When they started booing him, I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Really? Like, seriously? You're booing Bernie now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
and he said it's easy to boo. It's not easy to envision Donald Trump in the White House. And good for him.
Absolutely. Good for him. And think long-term about the movement. All right. If the Bernie movement that Bernie helped inspire, again, he didn't start it, but he helped inspire it. If that movement is a road, right? A Hillary Clinton presidency would not be a big block in that road. If anything, it might help the road. But if Donald Trump is our next president, the road is closed for construction, and they're probably going to be outsourced somewhere
it's
very soon.
It's going to be the road in speed, where it's closed off, and you got to keep the bus at a certain speed, and there's nowhere to fucking go. You know what I'm saying, Ron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. All and right. I want to like Hillary. I really do. Am I All totally right. on board with her? Not quite. But
well, you know what? After at this after party, I'm going to have the most mind-blowing, you know, Mrs. Robinson cougar sex with you. You're going to be totally fucking be on board. You're going to be
All
like,
right.
Hell yeah.
That's, yeah. I mean, that
happens
sounds.
At the after party.
All right. Sounds fair to me.
All right. Let's
do
this.
I'm on board then.
Let's do this.
We
How do we
it.
Follow you? How do we worship you? What do we do? How do we follow you on Twitter?
Ron Placone is my Twitter. Just at Ron Placone. R-O-N-P as in Paul, L-A-C-O-N-E. RonPlacone.com is my website. It takes you to my podcast. Gives you the information if you want to hear me on the dial. And gives you all the info for my YouTube. I'm on the Young Turks Network. So my YouTube channel is pretty active. And it has all my tour dates, so I might be coming to a city near you. And I plan all LA all the time.
Yeah, Yeah, and Ron's going to be coming to, you know, with Mama soon, if you know what I'm saying. It's going to be a lot of hell yes, fucking Stronger Together, fucking I'm with her after this. Am I right, Ron Pacone?
I hope so, yeah.
Thanks for coming on that fucking happy hour. Ron Pacone.
Cheers.
Comedian extraordinaire.
All right, thank you.
Good night, everybody. Just